Colossians chapter 1, from verses 1 to 14. Paul, the apostle of Christ Jesus, by God's will, and Timotheus, the brother, to the holy and faithful brethren in Christ which are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ continually when praying for you, having heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have towards all the saints, on account of the hope which is laid up for you in the heavens, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the glad tidings which are come to you, as they are in all the world, and are bearing fruit and growing, even as also among you from the day you heard them, and knew indeed the grace of God in truth, even as you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondman, who is a faithful minister of Christ for you. You have also, who has also manifested to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason we also, from the day we heard of your faith and love, do not cease praying and asking for you, to the end that you may be filled with the full knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so as to walk worthily of the Lord unto all well-pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing by the true knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory, unto all endurance and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has made us fit for sharing the portion of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the authority of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
It's a difficult thing in taking up a letter like Colossians to know how to split it up for the purpose of having individual Bible studies. The way it's been split up in the program that we have, something that Mark's kindly done for us, and we can give a brief outline of the way that it's been divided up for the purpose of our study.
يمكن يكون من الصعب ان احنا نقسم الرساله لكن بغرض دراسه الرساله قسمها لنا الاخ مارك لاجزاء معينه يمكن ندي الفكر العام من هذا التقسيم.
You have your programs, the first reading, if we have a one word summary of each, is an introduction. The second looks at glories, the glory of the person of Christ, the glory of the work of Christ, the glory of the mystery.
الجزء الأولاني إذا نقول عليه هو المقدمة. الجزء الثاني بيتكلم عن الأمجاد, أمجاد المسيح, أمجاد الكنيسة اللي هي السر. Sorry, I missed the second one.
The glory of the work of Christ.
Yeah, وعمل أمجاد مجد عمل المسيح.
Then the third reading, also on the second day, one word summary, dangers.
من الجزء الثالث يتكلم باختصار كلمة واحدة فقط عنوان هي المخاطر.
Dangers of persuasive speech, dangers of philosophy, the danger of ritualism, the danger of superstition, dangers facing the Christian company.
المخاطر التي تواجه المؤمنين وهي تتعلق بكلام الحكمة والفلسفة والتقاليد والأمور اللي فيها تفاؤل وتشاؤم.
And then on Sunday, consequences. And a key word is therefore. If therefore you've been raised with the Christ, practical consequences of being dead with Christ, practical consequences of being risen with Christ.
يوم الأحد يكون التأمل عن النتائج المتعلقة بكده ودائما نشوف الكلام يبتدي بكلمة إن.
And then our last reading will be looking at details. The details of living the life of Christ in the various circles in which we find ourselves. The Christian circle, the family circle, the social circle, the circle of those outside, and then even more details looking at Paul's fellow workers.
بعد كده نشوف تفاصيل الحياة المسيحية في دوائرها المختلفة، في دائرة الاجتماع والبيت والمجتمع، وبعد كده أخيرا في العلاقة مع قدام الرب اللي كانوا يعملوا مع الرسول بولس.
Today in the introduction we have Paul's general greeting to start with, and then Paul's thanksgiving for the Colossians, then Paul's prayer for the Colossians, and being an introductory section, we'd expect that a number of brethren might make some introductory kind of comments, looking at the character of the book. We only have 14 verses before us, but it'll be a challenge to get through them all.
بعد كده بالنسبة لجزء من النهاردة بيبتدي بتحية الرسول، ثم شكره من أجل المؤمنين في كلوسي، ثم صلاته من أجلهم. دي كانت مقدمة، لكن الرب يعطي الإخوة تأملات في الفكر العام من الرسالة، ويمكن 14 عدد، لكن ما أعتقدش إحنا يعني نقدر نغطيهم كلهم، لكن بقدر الإمكان.
There is a natural comparison we have between the Epistle to the Ephesians and the Epistle to the Colossians. In the Epistle to the Ephesians, where we have a very high truth brought before us, we see the believers seated in Christ in the heavenlies. But in the Colossians, we have Christ in the believers upon earth. Now this brings us down, of course, to our present day, where each believer in his position is with Christ in the heavenlies. But in our condition, we are upon earth, and we have Christ and the believers upon earth. So we have both in the Ephesians and the Colossians a very important truth brought before us, both for our heavenly position and for our earthly condition.
من أجل مقارنة بين رسالتي أفسس وكولوسي، رسالة أفسس اللي معلن فيها حق ثمين فيما يتعلق بمقام المؤمن أو المؤمنين يرجالسين في المسيح في السماويات، بالمقارنة مع رسالة كولوسي نرى المسيح في المؤمن أو في المؤمنين فيما يختص بالسلوك. أفسس تورينا المقام السماوي للمؤمنين، أما رسالة كولوسي تورينا السلوك الذي يجب أن يتوافق مع ذلك.
Picking up on that line, it's also useful to see that Christians have different phases of growth. We start as babes or little children. We become young men or women in faith and become ultimately, Lord willing, to be mature fathers in faith. That's the title which John gives. Paul picks up the same in Romans. He speaks to us as little children in faith. In Colossians, he's speaking to us as people, youngsters, growing in faith. In Ephesians, he speaks to us as mature in faith. And it's useful to see that this book of Colossians is for those who have strength but who are growing.
بالنسبة لرسالة كولوسي بنشوف فيها تتابع مراحل نمو المؤمن من أطفال أو أولاد ثم أحداث ثم آباء. إذا الفكرة تشوف في رسالة روميا الرسول يكتبهم باعتبارهم أولاد في الإيمان، رسالة كولوسي باعتبارهم أحداث في الإيمان ناضجين، ثم في نشوف في رسالة أفسس يتكلم عن الكاملين في الإيمان. وعشان كده موضوع رسالة كولوسي هو النمو والنضج والتقوي في الإيمان.
You would also see the same comparison we see on Ephesians, the brandish of the love of Christ. And in Colossians we see the glory of the head of the body. And it is quite evident in both. There is a beautiful truth which is the union of the head with his body, the church.
في رسالة أفسس بنشوف امتيازات الكنيسة جسد المسيح، أما في رسالة كولوسي بنشوف امتيازات أو أمجاد الرأس ونشوف وحدة الرأس مع الجسد.
There was a pistol sent the objection to show forth the glories of Christ. And after the epistle to the Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians is compared with a house. In Ephesians we see there the ceiling, the high truth, that our hearts may be directed to Him. Our position is in Him. In Colossians, the epistle we had before us, we find there the walls which uphold the truth of our heavenly calling. That both are of great importance for us, that through the testimony we may render by grace to Him, Christ may be seen and the truth may be upheld. Here in Colossians, first one starts with the Apostle Paul. And it was necessary for him to exert his authority as an apostle of by the will of God, and then Timothy, our brother. It is good to look at these titles as the Spirit of God has given them to us. The apostle not always exerts his authority as the apostle of God, by the will of God. But here it is necessary. And there are great dangers, as we have heard in the introduction already, looming there in Colossae. The apostle combats these difficulties with presenting the positive to the believers.
رسالة كروسي الغرض منها إعلان وتوضيح أمجاد الرأس. يمكن نحن نقدر نشوف في أفسس وكروسي نشوف الفكرين مع بعض في صورة بيت. السقف البيت رسالة أفسس بتشوف في علاقتنا أو امتيازنا في المسيح كيف نصل إليه في السماء نتعامل معه. أما رسالة كروسي بتورينا حوائط ذلك البيت اللي هو الحق أو الأعمدة التي يقوم عليها على أساسها هذا الحق. الرسول في كولوسي بيبدأ الرسالة باسمه بولس رسول يسوع المسيح بمشيئة الله، بيؤكد رسوليته أو سلطانه كرسول في مواجهة الأخطار اللي كانت محيطة بالكنيسة هناك، وعشان كده بيؤكد هذا السلطان ما احتاجش أن يعمل كده في كل رسائله، لكن في الرسالة دي بسبب الأخطار بدأ بهذه البداية.
It is therefore for us so important, beloved, that we combat the difficulties and the dangers in the testimony of God here on earth with the truth and the reality of the scriptures. But it's Paul doing here. Only in chapter 2 at the end of it, he tackles the difficulties. But before he does that, he presents Christ in all his glory.
الرسول عشان يواجه الأخطار والتعاليم اللي كانت موجودة، أول ما عمل بيه يبدأ بطريقة إيجابية إنه يعلن أمجاد المسيح وكمالاته في الأصحاح الأول قبل ما يبتدي يتكلم عن الأمور السلبية اللي كانت موجودة في أصحاح 2.
Often in studying books of the Bible you find that the key to unlock the way a book is divided up is hanging right at the door, right at the very beginning. And Colossians is not like that.
كتير في دراساتنا نتكلم عن الله نلاقي مفتاح السفر نلاقي في الأعداد الأولى من الرسالة أو السفر، لكن كولوسي مش كده.
In Colossians, the key is right at the heart of the book, but the heart of the book is not in the middle, just like in a human body.
نشوف مفتاح الكتاب في قلب السفر، لكن زي ما في جسم الإنسان قلبه في الجزء العلوي.
And in the way Colossians naturally divides itself, not the way we can look at it in a series of readings, is first the presentation of Christ. It's Christ.
أول حاجة رسالة كروسي تقسم نفسها إنه أول حاجة متقدم المسيح نفسه.
And then last, its consequences and responsibilities of you, of us.
وبعد كده في الآخر يتكلم عن مسؤولياتنا بالمقارنة أو بالتتابع مع ذلك.
And what's in the middle, what's at the heart, is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
أما وسط أو قلب الرسالة فهو المسيح فيكم رجاء المجد.
This naturally links with what our brother Bob has said in making comparison with Ephesians, where we are seen in Christ. In Colossians, it's Christ in you.
وده اللي قاله الأخ باب إنه في أفسس نحن نرى في المسيح أما في كروسي المسيح فيكم.
And part of that heart of the book involving the great truth of the mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory, are the various ways in which we're seen to be associated with Christ.
وبالارتباط بهذا الفكر المسيح فيكم نشوف هناك أوجه مختلفة لهذا الارتباط بالمسيح.
Dead with Christ, buried with Him, raised with Him, our life hid with Him, we're going to appear with Him. The word with showing our association with Christ and the matter of Christ being in us forms the heart or the center of the epistle that links the first part, Christ, with the last part, you.
عشان يتكرر كلمة مع المسيح مرارا كثيرة شوف من أموات معه أو متنا معه مدفونين معه مقامين معه ثم أيضا نتمجد معه ونظهر معه.
The Holy Spirit will teach us in the epistles which we have the way by which these matters are to be dealt with. We know that in Colossians they were caught up in earthly things, the rudiments of this world, and the apostle had to deal with that. From the last point of out that he doesn't deal with this straight away, he presents the glories of Christ. Even in Corinthians, with all the carnal methods and all those practices which they had, they even proclaimed the test that he was shown them. And in Philemon, where we have only one chapter there, but a very wonderful exposition of the apostle, when he was dealing with Onesimus, who had stolen from Philemon, that he did about three. About eight verses, I think, which we have before he reaches that point. In John's Revelation, we have the seven churches where he commends before he condemns. So these are the ways by which matters should be dealt with, not by rushing in, as we often humanly do, rushing in to deal with the matters head on, but to lead into the matters by presenting that which is right and probable first before we deal with the matter which is in hand.
نشوف في هذه الرسالة كيف يتعامل روح الله أو كيف يقودنا روح الله إلى التعامل مع الأمور زي ما في مثلا رسالة كورنثوس الرسول رغم أنه كان هناك الحالة جسدية لكن الرسول في الأول يمدح المؤمنين على ما فيهم. نشوف أيضا في رسالة فيليمون قبل ما يتكلم عن مشكلة أونيسيموس برضو يتكلم عن أمور كثيرة يقدم الشكر من أجلها من أجل عائلة فيليمون. نفس الكلام في رؤية أنه قبل رب ما يجيل قدم الكلام اللي هو في رسائله السبع الكنائس أو السبع كنائس بالمديح. ودي الطريقة اللي روح الرب يقدر نتعامل بها مع الأمور بالاختلاف مع الطريقة الإنسانية اللي احنا أحيانا نحب نواجه ونتعامل مع الأمور السلبية مباشرة.
We were reminded by the revelation of the hope of glory, which is Christ in you. Verse 27, I'm going to add now, the hope of glory. Also, that hope is mentioned in our section at the end in verse 5, for the hope which is made up for you in heaven. This hope we may see in a dual aspect. That we as believers, we certainly have made up a hope, a wondrous hope in heaven. believers in the epistle to the Ephesians, the apostle does not use this expression. They were actually positionally already in heaven. You are with Christ in heaven, raised with Him, but also positioned with Him in the heavens, and obtained all the spiritual blessings which are in Christ Jesus. The apostle could not deal, pardon me, deal with it.
نشوف في عدد 27 في أصحاح 1 بيتكلم عن المسيح رجاء المجد، أما في عدد 5 بيتكلم من أجل الرجاء الموضوع أمامكم، وده كلام واجب الكلام عليه في هذه الرسالة بالمقارنة مع رسالة أفسس اللي ترى هناك الكنيسة في المسيح في السماويات already جالسة في السماويات لمقامها اللي موجودة فيه متمتعة بكل بركات الروحية في السماوات، وبالتالي بما أنها في السماويات لا يذكر هناك الرجاء.
The apostle could not deal with the believers in Colossae the same way. And it is important for us to realize this. There are different situations, different levels of understanding and enjoying the truths of God. And that we as servants may adapt ourselves to these situations.
علشان كده المؤمنين في كولوسي ما كانوش في هذا الواقع اللي فيه المؤمنين أفسس. وعشان كده الرسول بيكلمهم بطريقة مختلفة، وده مهم للخدام الرب خدام الكلمة يفهموا إنه ويميزوا إن احتياجات القديسين احتياجات المؤمنين تختلف، ويجب إن إحنا نتجاوب مع هذا الاختلاف.
So the hope we have laid out for us in heaven is secure there, but it will be manifested in a coming day, the hope of glory. Manifested and shown among the Gentiles. Verse 27.
هذا الرجاء الذي لنا في السماوات هو رجاء يقيني ومؤكد لكنه سوف يستعلن بين الأمم كما هو في عدد 27 المسيح فيكم رجاء المجد.
This was and is a mystery, not a mystery for us anymore. A mystery in Scripture is always explained by the Scriptures. He will be manifested one day among the Gentiles in the coming age.
هذا سر، لكنه ليس سر بعد بالنسبة لنا لأنه قد أعلن في كلمة الله وضح لنا. لكن هذا السر سوف يعرف به بين الأمم في وقت قادم.
And the objective of the Spirit of God is that glory in the coming age that already may be shown in the assembly for the glory of the Lord.
والغرض غرض إنه يكون هناك إن مجد هذا السر يعلن عندما جاء الرب.
We can see the believers in different levels in three epistles. Like, for example, in Romans, we see them alive with Christ. In the epistle of the Colossians, we see them alive with Christ and raised with Christ. In the epistle of Ephesians, we see them alive with Christ, raised with Christ, and seated in heavenly places with Christ. And this depends, as we heard, about the level of the understanding in each epistle.
نشوف المؤمن في أو المؤمنين في حالات مختلفة. نشوف في روميا المؤمنين أحياء مع المسيح، نشوف في كولوسي أحياء مع المسيح ومقامين مع المسيح، أما في رسالة أفسس نراهم أحياء مقامين لكنهم أيضا جالسين في السماويات، وده يختلف بحسب موضوع الرسالة والكلام فيها لحالة المؤمنين المرسل إليه.
Just a couple more introductory remarks, and then we really ought to get into the verses themselves. But there are two things that are very conspicuous by their absence in Colossians.
في بالنسبة للمقدمة كمان هناك في بعض حاجات غريبة أنها مختفية في رسالة كولوسي.
First is, apart from a passing, we might even say, obscure reference, there is no mention of the Holy Spirit in Colossians. A great burden of the ministry of the Apostle Paul, we've compared it with Ephesians, Ephesians is full of the Holy Spirit, but really no mention of any direct significance in Colossians.
من الحاجات الغريبة مثلاً في رسالة كولوسي بالمقارنة مع رسالة أفسس في كولوسي لا يذكر كثير أو ربما هناك إشارة لطيفة فقط إلى الروح القدس لا كلام كثير عنه.
Another thing which is very conspicuous by its absence is not one quotation made from the Old Testament, not one.
وبرضه من الحاجات اللي ملحوظة في رسالة كولوسي إنه ما فيش أي اقتباس نهائي من العهد القديم ولا واحد.
And again, if you look at the great burden of the ministry of the Apostle Paul, every other letter, his verbal ministry recounted in the book of the Acts, references to the Old Testament abound.
رغم إن إحنا نشوف دائما في خدمة الرسول بولس ورسائله خاصة في سفر الأعمال إشارات واقتباسات كثيرة من العهد القديم.
So we get an intense feeling that what the apostle is presenting here is being presented in such a way to provide no excuse, no springboard, no platform for distraction into anything else. Soul occupation with Christ is what he is bringing before the Colossians and us.
كما لو كان الفكر هنا أن الرسول بولس عايز يركز إنه ما يكونش في أي حاجة أبدا تجذب الانتباه من المشغولية فقط بالرب يسوع المسيح.
Something else we need to notice in connection with that in an introductory way and will prepare us as we go through for things that might be startling. That where most of the books you read spend a lot of time contrasting Ephesians and Colossians. In the early days of church history, the objective that men took was to try and synchronize everything, to try and blend things together. There was an objective early on to form one harmonious gospel. So instead of being four, there'd be one. Take all the different bits and put them all together. The objective early on was to attempt to synchronize Ephesians and Colossians.
نخلي بالنا كمان ان احنا رغم ان احنا بنقرا في كتب كثيره لشرح كلمه الله نلاقي دائما مقارنات كثيره بين افسس وكولوسي، لكن خلينا نفتكر او نعرف انه في بدايه الكنيسه كانت هناك محاولات كثيره لضم او جمع دمج كتب الكتاب كلها مع بعض. يعني مثلا حبوا يعملوا انجيل واحد من الاربعه، حبوا برساله افسس وكولوسي بالذات حبوا يعملوها رساله واحده كما لو كانت واحده كمسوده للثانيه.
One of the consequences of that is that when copies were being made of the epistle to the Colossians by hand, those who made the copies were predisposed to bringing in things from Ephesians into Colossians where they thought they should have been. And so we'll discover as we go through the different translations we have in front of us, there are significant differences sometimes. Not due to the ability of the translator, but due to the great variation in the manuscript, the hand copies that were made back in the early days of the Epistles of Colossians.
عشان كده هنلاقي في كثيرا في كتابات الأصلية لرسالة كولوسي قد يكون هناك بعض الاختلافات، لأنه كان بعض متأثر مثلا برسالة أفسس. ويمكن نلاقي بعض حاجات كانت مش موجودة في الأصول الأصلية لكن لقيها وجدت في بعض النسخ اللي كتبت من رسالة كولوسي.
We don't have to re-explain that every time we come to it, but there will be differences on account of that in the various translations that people have in front of them.
لكن عشان كده يلاقي في بعضنا المعلق الترجمات بالذات الإنجليزية يلاقي في اختلافات ما بين الترجمات في بعض أجزاء مش موجودة.
Should we move into the verses themselves and class has started us off in verse 1 with the apostle and continue.
نبتدي يعني نتحرك نحن نتأمل في الأعداد بعد ما انتهينا من المقدمة.
Perhaps one additional remark in connection with the Epistles about the Spirit. There is only one that goes to the Spirit of God here, the force before us, and that is the only one in Colossians, and that is in verse 8.
في إشارة واحدة للروح القدس في هذه الرسالة اللي هي في عدد 8.
You are loved in the Spirit, and that is significant. This mention of faith and hope and love, we have these three, we know, we try to meet several Boston epistles, but here, the Spirit of love.
كلام عن محبتكم في الروح. نشوف الكلام عن الإيمان والرجاء والمحبة اللي بيذكروا في رسائل كثيرة. هنا بيتكلم عن المحبة في الروح.
And that is also significant for us that we, in a practical way, may look at that and speak to one another in love, and the love of the Spirit who is in us.
وده شيء عملي يجب أن نمارسه نحن في محبتنا لبعضنا البعض، محبة الروح الذي فينا.
But in verse 1, beside the authority of the Apostle Paul, by the veil of God, he also has the expression, the brothers, or Timothy, our brother.
في عدد الأول نشوف رسول بيأكد سلطان ورسولي كونه بمشيئة الله، لكن أيضا نرى ذكر كلمة الأهل وتيموثاوس الأهل.
And it is so important to realize the relationship we have with one another. And this is also emphasized in the second verse, where we read to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ.
مهم جدا احنا ندرك علاقتنا مع بعضنا البعض. ده الشيء اللي بيؤكد ايضا في العدد الثاني بالكلام والاخوه المؤمنين في المسيح.
Similar expression we find in Ephesians, the saints and faithful. But here the word brethren is added.
تعبير نفسه نشوف في رسالة أفسس الكلمات عن القديسين المؤمنين، أما هنا نشوف كلمة الإخوة مضافة.
And it is good to realize this that we are brethren together.
حلو نحن نلاحظ أن احنا إخوة معا.
And that we have a joint front in before us.
ونحن لنا وحدة مع بعض.
Because the enemy was looming there in chapter 2.
وبالتالي احنا لينا جبهة واحدة لأنه لما نشوف في أصحاح 2 نشوف ازاي العدو ابتدى يظهر.
Says in verse 2 that he gave thanks continually when praying for them. Now, the various brethren have mentioned the spiritual condition of the Colossians that caused the apostle to write of the truths that he did write. And can you imagine Paul writing, "Oh, foolish Colossians, who has bewitched you?" Can you imagine him writing, "I wonder that you've moved from him that calls you in Christ's grace to a different gospel, which is not another"? He couldn't write those things to the Colossians. Those things were not reflective of their spiritual state. their spiritual state was such that the gospel had taken a great hold in the midst of them. The gospel itself was growing in their midst. It was growing out from them, but it was growing in their midst. And on account of their response to the gospel, there's great thanksgiving that the apostle gives here in these early verses.
نشوف في بداية الرسالة الرسول يقدم الشكر مشكور الله وربنا يسوع المسيح في كل حين مصلين لأجلكم. هل ممكن أتصور إنه الرسول كان يبتدي الرسالة مثلا زي ما كتب لغلاطية أيها الغلاطيون الأنبياء إنكم تحركتم من إنجيل المسيح إلى إنجيل آخر، لكن هنا نشوف إنه إنجيل المسيح كان له قبول بصورة مختلفة لدى المؤمنين في كولوسي، وبالتالي كان بداية الرسول هنا مختلفة تماما.
Something we learn from that is that our personal or our collective spiritual condition governs the truth that we're capable of taking in. The apostle in wisdom knew that, and so he presented truth that was suitable to the spiritual condition of those to whom he was speaking. And we need to take account of our spiritual condition in order to be receptive to truth of various kinds.
السبب في كده طبعا كان انه الحاله الروحيه للمؤمنين في كولوسي كانت مختلفه تماما، وبالتالي قدر الرسول انه يعلن لهم حق ثمين واضح في هذه الرساله، وعشان كده مسؤوليتنا احنا ننتبه لحالتنا الروحيه، لانه على قد ما تكون حالتنا الروحيه في حاله مناسبه على قد ما يمكننا الاستيعاب والفهم والتمتع بالحق الالهي.
The apostle speaks of grace and peace in verse 2, and I think I'm correct in saying that in the introduction to all the epistles, he uses grace and peace and sometimes mercy in the first few verses. Evidently, this was something very dear to him. If we read in Timothy 1:13 that he was one who obtained mercy, and he often speaks of the grace of the Lord Jesus. So it's something very dear to him, and I believe it's something that should be very dear to us, even as we go through these epistles, that we are those who have received grace and mercy and peace through our Lord Jesus.
الرسول بيبدا الرساله بالتحيه بنعمه وسلام للمؤمنين هنا، وكثير الرسول في الرسائل يبدا بنعمه وسلام واحيانا خط رحمه كمان، واضح انه هذه الامور قصدا في مساوس مثلا بيقول انا شخصيا اعطيت رحمه، لكن واضح ان النعمه والسلام كانت الامور ثمينه جدا لدى قلب الرسول، الامر اللي كان بيعبر عنه في كل الرسائل تقريبا اللي كتبها.
And as we appreciate more and more of that grace and peace and the mercy that is personally conveyed to us by our God, that it does bring us to that third verse, doesn't it? We give thanks. And thankful spirit is alongside those things we appreciate more and more that our God will give us all, both individually and collectively, in our lives here.
على قد ما يكون تمتعنا بتقديرنا للنعمة الله والسلام، وعلى قد ما يكون تجاوب قلوبنا معه كأفراد وكجماعة، نحن نقدم الشكر زي ما هو في عدد ثلاثة.
Mercy by the Apostle Paul is often used in his personal letters. To help the person he writes to face the reality of the difficulties head on. Mercy is available. In this particular setting, we don't find the word mercy so much, but we find here that wonderful cluster of these three words, and you have them in faith, love, and hope, already referred to previously.
عادة الرسول يكتب كلمة الرحمة في لما يكون هيكلم في أمور صعبة، لكن إن كنا لا نجد كلمة الرحمة ذاتها في هذه الرسالة، لكن نلاقي هذا التجمع الجميل في كلمة ثلاث كلمات: الإيمان والمحبة والرجاء.
And these three ingredients, faith and love and hope, when they characterize a certain company of believers, and then we can see that a company of believers, that is called a local expression of the assembly of God, you may compare it with a city of refuge.
لما نشوف هذه الثلاث صفات الإيمان والرجاء والمحبة تميز جماعة المؤمنين جماعة يتميزوا في مكان أو اجتماع محلي مثلا نقدر نقول إن عليهم يمثلوا أو نرى فيهم صورة لمدينة الملك.
We know what a city of refuge was in the past for the Israelites. They were six cities, three on this side of Jordan, six on the other side of Jordan, and there were places where the men who had killed somebody, either intentionally or not intentionally, could flee.
نعرف عن مدن الملجأ في كان في أيام شعب إسرائيل هناك مدن الملجأ اللي كان إن كان واحد أتى واحد عن غير قصد كان يلجأ إلى هذه المدن فيحتمي فيها.
A wonderful illustration, of course, of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also an illustration of the assembly.
ونشوف هي صورة جميلة بالتأكيد لشخص الرب يسوع المسيح لأنها أيضا صورة جميلة للكنيسة.
A company of God's people characterized by faith, for which the Apostle Paul could give thanks.
جماعة من شعب الله يتميزوا بالإيمان الأمر اللي قدر الرسول أن يقدم الشكر له.
A love in operation by the Holy Spirit in verse
8.
And then also we have touched upon already a little bit about the living hope which is Christ in you. If we look at this condition, this spiritual condition in a particular assembly, what a place it will be where can we find safety for the guilty one and safety for the one who unintentionally has killed somebody.
لو كان دي الحالة تميز اجتماع محلي بالتأكيد ممكن شخص يجد فيها أمان وطمأنينة خاصة لو كان شخص مثلا قتل واحد.
This truth actually is further developed in the epistle, but it is good to see this at the beginning, that Paul knew what was looming there, what was coming up, that the saints locally would be reminded of this wonderful truth that they have a greater responsibility towards one another.
عشان كده الرسول في مواجهة الأخطار اللي كانت بتواجه كنيسة كولوسي يحب يفكرهم بهذه الأمور من ناحية مسؤولياتهم ناحية الواحد نحو الآخر.
We do not find Paul here murmuring or complaining about the condition. We do find here Paul giving thanks, and it's mentioned, as we elaborated upon, five times in this sentence. And why he was able to give thanks? We read in this verse that he was praying for them, as we read in verse 3, we give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And if we go to chapter 4, he mentions this to them, and he is also teaching the Colossian brethren to continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. how can we give thanks in a condition where there are lots of problems and lots of dangers, especially doctor in our teaching? If we are before the throne of grace concerning our brethren and concerning all what is surrounding us, there is a lot to give thanks. Murmuring disappears, and blessing is there because we have Christ. Christ in us, who is the hope of glory.
رغم الحالة اللي كانت موجودة الرسول ما بيشتكيش كتير لكن بيقدم الشكر ليه؟ لأنه كان بيصلي مع المؤمنين هناك وده الحاجة اللي حرض عليها المؤمنين في الصلاة أربعة وضربوا على الصلاة ساهرين بيها بالشكر على قد ما نكون في عرش النعمة مصلين شاكرين من أمور من أجل أمور كثيرة على قد ما يختفي كلامه.
This is giving thanks to God, the acknowledgement to Him of His work in us.
إن شكر الرب من أجل عمله فيه.
Where the Apostle Paul was at that time, that's what he had. He's an old man in prison, in a worldly sense. He has nothing, but here he gives expression of one who has everything in the sight of God because of God's work in him and for him, and therefore he brings that out for his co-brethren.
الرسول بولس كان في وقتها رجل متقدم في السن شيخ كان في السجن لم يكن لديه محاوزات كثير لكن الرسول قدر يشوف انه المسيح فيه هو له كل شيء وده الامر اللي بيستعرضه امام اذهان وقلوب المؤمنين هنا ما لهم في المسيح.
He speaks of them as bearing fruit and growing. And that is only the bearing fruit from the work of God through Christ in them. It's only through their growing in Christ. And we can only start to enter into that when that is our same object. And unless we have our hearts separated from everything that would hinder that, we won't be able to experience it like He's encouraging them to experience.
الرسول بيتكلم عن كونهم مثمرين وهم بالتأكيد مثمرين نتيجة عمل الله فيهم ولأنهم لامين في المسيح ولو كان هذا دي حالتنا لو كان مشغولياتنا وقلوبنا وتركيزنا على المسيح ومشغولين به ومنفصلين عن الأمور اللي تشتت انتباهنا وتجذبنا بعيد عن المسيح هو ده الوضع والحالة اللي تجعلنا مثمرين.
In verse 6, that for which the apostle gives thanks, there's a difference between the later part of the introduction in connection with what the apostle prays for.
الجزء الأول بيتكلم عن الرسول وعدد ستة بيتكلم عن مثمر فيكم يختلف عن الثمر في الجزء الثاني في المقدمة.
Later on he prays that they might bear fruit in every good work and grow by the true knowledge of God. Here he gives thanks that the gospel in their midst is bearing fruit and growing. The gospel had been, it says, the glad tidings which are come to you as they are in all the world. But it was in their midst that the gospel was bearing fruit and growing. We perhaps need to explore what that is. What is it that the gospel in our midst bears fruit and grows?
الرسول بيقدم الشكر أو الأفريق كمان في عدد 9 أنهم يمتلئوا أو يكونوا عدد 10 يكونوا هم مثمرين ده يختلف عن الثمر اللي في عدد 6 هنا بيتكلم على إنه الإنجيل وصل إليهم كان الإنجيل في وسطهم مثمر وده حقيقة تسأل كيف يكون الإنجيل مثمر في وسطهم.
So we are sometimes inclined to think of the gospel as something that unbelievers need that's got to go out. but this is something that bears fruit and grows amongst us. How would the gospel do that? It's a genuine question. It's not one of those set up ones.
The epistle Paul to the Romans was actually epistle of the gospel, and he ends this epistle of the gospel to the Romans with the following words: "And now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began." That's chapter 16, verse 25.
رسالة روميا هي دي رسالة الإنجيل، ونشوف بعض ما أتكلمهم عن الإنجيل في ختام الرسالة. الرسول يقول لهم: وللقادر أن يثبتكم حسب إنجيلي والفرازة بيسوع المسيح حسب إعلان السر الذي كان مكتوما في الأزمنة الأزلية.
The purpose of the gospel, one aspect of course, is not to just to save sinners and have their sins forgiven, that they come in connection with Christ and through him to God. But there's much more to it.
إنه الإنجيل مش مقرص إنه تبشير الخطاة أو لغفران الخطايا، ده مش كل الإنجيل.
The Apostle Peter could say that we have been brought back to God through the gospel.
رسول بطرس يقول نحن عودنا أو رجعنا إلى الله عن طريق الإنجيل.
And collectively speaking, are we really brought back to God in a practical way?
بالنسبة لنا كجماعة عمليا هل احنا فعلا عمليا رجعنا إلى الله؟
These Jewish believers, Peter was writing to, could understand this. They were brought back to God. They were actually seeing again God's mind and God's will for his earthly people.
بالنسبة للي كتبهم رسول بطرس اليهود هم كانوا قدروا يفهموا كده انهم رجعوا الى الله قدروا يشوفوا فكر الله في تعامله معهم.
But the gospel has reached the Jews and the Gentiles with that wonderful position to bring us all back to God.
لكن الإنجيل وصل كل من اليهود والأمم لكي يوصلنا لهذا المقام ومكان الجميل نحن يرجعنا جميعا إلى الله.
And that we collectively, Jews and Gentiles, may serve him. Actually, the basic word for service is worship. And if you read the word service in the book of Hebrews, think of worship.
ولو قرينا كلمة خدمة في رسالة العبرانيين هنا أيضا مكتوبة كلمة سجود.
The activity of the gospel amongst us is to draw our hearts collectively to that divine center, to the Lord Jesus Christ in worship. In worship to Him, in worship to the Father.
وعشان كده غرض الإنجيل وعمل فعاليته فيه أنها لو جعلنا كلنا تأتي بنا كجماعة لكي نقدم للرب يسوع المسيح والآب السجود والطاعة.
And I'm sure that Brother Craig has an answer to this question too.
I didn't, but as you were speaking in connection with the worship of God, there are several things that come out, and that is the number of times, linking on with Bassam's comment, the number of times thanksgiving comes out in Colossians.
بالتأكيد موضوع السجود موضوع مهم، وعشان كده حاجات كتيرة نشوفها في هذه الرسالة تدرس فيها زي مثلا موضوع شاكرين أو تقديم الشكر.
And there are other things that come out frequently in Colossians: wisdom, knowledge,
understanding,
and God's will. This is an Epaphras gospel. The gospel that they'd learned from Epaphras was a gospel that was bearing fruit and growing among them. And we see in chapter 4 what Epaphras was watering that seed with. It was a prayer that they might stand perfect and complete in all the will of God.
We should say, الرسول أو أبقراط مش الرسول كان يسقي هذه النبتة التي زرعها هذا الإنجيل في أصحاح 4 إنه كان ينادي مجاهد كل حين لأجلكم بالصلوات لكي تثبتوا كاملين وممتلئين في كل مشيئة الله.
Thanksgiving, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, standing in the will of God, these are, would be elements, perhaps not a full answer to the question, of what it is for the gospel to bear fruit and grow amongst us. There's a need for believers to hear the gospel, and not just to sit hearing the gospel thinking, oh, I hope some unbelievers are hearing this, but to sit thinking, this is to have an effect in me bearing fruit and growing.
عشان كده هناك احتياج ان المؤمن نفسه يسمع الانجيل، يسمعه علشان يعرف او يتجاوب مع الانجيل اللي يعطي له احساس في القلب في الداخل في الضمير انه يعطي له حكمه وفهم وشكر ويعطي له فهم لمشيئه الله ويكون الانجيل ينمو فيه وفي حياته.
This was of immense importance for the Apostle Paul to bring this out. And that leads us into verse 9. For this reason, we also, from the day we heard of your faith and love, do not cease praying and asking for you. And then he goes through these things that we've been talking about. You may be filled with the full knowledge of his will. Look for some help at unfolding that praise. And then in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, we should look for some help in opening that phrase up too. So as to walk worthily of the Lord unto all the world pleasing. These are important things. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of you.
عشان كده يكمل الرسول على 9 ومن أجل ذلك نحن أيضا منذ يوم سمعنا لم نزل مصلين وطالبين لأجلكم الكلام ده كله تتابع لثمر العمل الإنجيل فيهم أن تمتلئوا من معرفة مشيئتي وأتمنى أن حد يشرح لنا حاجة عن الكلام ده في كل حكمة وفهم روحي برضه أتمنى أن حد يتكلمنا عن هذا الموضوع.
And he goes on in verse 29, he says, whereunto also I toil, combating according to his working. And so he's paid great attention and importance to this, such that he regards his prayer as being toil and combat. And that's for an old man in prison, praying for the Colossians in toil and combat that they would enter in to the full fruit of the gospel.
الرسول يكمل مع 29 الأمر الذي لديه أفعل أيضا مجاهدا بحسب عمله الذي يعمل في ذو قوة. الرسول كان رجل شيخ متقدم في السجن لكن كان يجاهد في الصلاة من أجلهم حتى يقدروا أنهم يدخلوا إلى دائرة التمتع بهذا الإنجيل.
So maybe this is something to stimulate our prayer meetings.
ربما هذا شيء يشجعنا أن احنا يكون هناك هدف على قروضنا أن نصلي من أجل اجتماعات الصلاة.
الرسول كان بيصلي لأجل المؤمنين دول رغم أنه ما كانش شافهم ولا مرة بالجسد.
The apostle was praying for those believers, although he hasn't ever seen them before.
Every believer born again from God, the Holy Spirit dwells in him. And that's the beginning, the
spark the relationship between the human being and God. Before we were perish, we are existing in that process, but now, by the work of Christ in cross, the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us, and that gives us a connection with God. And we can know the soul of God, as the first Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 1, in the end, said, the Spirit is searching the deepness of God. We know that the will of God, by the Spirit which is dwelt in us, we born by grace, by faith. And through that grace and faith, we can learn how to approach God, how to know the will of God in our life, by the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit in our life. And use the message of the grace by praying to read the word of God and to meditate in the word, and we will grow in faith, and we know the will, and we can approach the other people for the gospel, to tell them that the gospel is true, by purifying, by cleaning ourselves from everything hindrance the word of God. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, we know that Paul gave advice to Timothy to how to walk according to the Holy Word, and here it says, all the scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. If we give ourselves to the Holy Spirit to work in us, we can produce fruit, we can produce good work, and glorify our God in heaven.
بالنسبة للمؤمن اللي فرد من الله ساكن فيه روح الله وعن طريق حكم روح الله فيه هو ده اللي يقدر يخليه انه يفهم مشيئة الله في كورنثوس الأولى نعرف ان الروح يبحث أعماق الله ده الروح اللي يقدر يشرح لنا أو يعرض لنا أعماق الله ويعطينا نفهم مع دراسة كلمة الله يمكننا معرفة مشيئة الله يمكننا أيضا الوصول للنفوس من خارج كما هو في مسافة ثانية 13 كل الكتاب هو موحى به من الله ونافع للتعليم والتوبيخ التقويم والتأديب الذي في البر لكي يكون إنسان الله كاملا متأهبا لكل عمل صالح.
We might ask ourselves, do we realize the importance of what God has done? I just think of Exodus, and in chapter 3, when he's Jehovah is speaking to Moses, he says, I have seen assuredly the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and their cry have I heard on account of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good and spacious land, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And you go, but I know it's going a bit ahead, but it says, giving thanks to the Father who has made us fit for sharing the portion of the saints in life, who has delivered us from the authority of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love.
نحتاج نحن نسأل أنفسنا هل إحنا نقدر ما قد تعالى الله من أجلنا في كلام الرب الله لموسى يقول إني رأيت مزلة شعبي ونزلت لأخلصهم ومن مزلة المصريين من قبل الأرض في لبنان وعسلا ده يمكن إحنا متقدمين شوية وأنا سبقت بعض الأعداد لكن بعد 12 نشوف هذا الكلام شايفين الآب الذي أهلنا لشركة ميراث القديسين في النور الذي أنقذنا من سلطان الظلمة ونقلنا إلى ملكوت المحبة.
He realizes how important the people of God are to the heart of God.
أجينا حنودري أدي شعب الله مهم جدا وغالي جدا على قلب الله.
حول الإنجيل الذي أثمر في هؤلاء المؤمنين.
If we go back to the gospel that was fruitful amongst those believers,
الإنجيل أثمر فيهم حياة المسيح نفسه.
The gospel has produced in them the life of Christ itself.
الشخص الذي يقبل الإنجيل لا يحصل على غفران الخطايا فقط.
The one who accepts the gospel, not only that he receives the forgiveness of his sins,
لكنه يحصل على حياة المسيح.
Now, but he also receives the life of Christ himself.
يوحنا 10:10 أنا أتيت ليس ليكون لهم غفران لكن لتكون لهم حياة ويكون لهم حق.
And John 10:10 says that I have come not for them not to have only life, but that life will be abundant or rich.
هذه الحياة لنا خصائص صمت حياة سماوي ظهر في هؤلاء المؤمنين.
That life has got characteristics that are heavenly, those characteristics that appear in the lives of those believers.
وهذا ما جعل الرسول قلبه يفيض بالشوق والفرح من أجل هؤلاء المؤمنين.
And that will cause the heart of the apostle to overflow with thanksgiving for those believers.
وهو يصلي لكي يزداد أو تزداد ظهور هذه الحياة فيه.
And he was praying that the revelation of that life may abound in appearing in them.
Knowing the will of God would be a very high standard of the implicit glory of his desire and his prayer to fill with the knowledge of his will and have we as a Christian to be filled with his the knowledge of his will because he is really approach the condition of these saints and they are occupied with some dangers and the medical of their condition is to be filled with the knowledge of his will. And if they are filled, or if we are filled with the knowledge of his will, there is nothing empty to be filled with other stuff. But there is something in our behalf to be filled with his knowledge. If we go back to John chapter 14 and verse 23, the Lord said, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him. It is something we should be in our prayer and our desire to be filled with his will through the love of his person and the love and obedience to him. And this enables us to be no chance for any other things to come and fill our hearts.
معرفة مشيئته ذا المستوى عالي لكن مهم كان لمواجهة المخاطر اللي كانت أمام كنيسة المؤمنين في كولوسي. الرسول كان يقول لهم يصلي أنهم يمتلئوا معرفة مشيئته على قد ما نمتلئ من معرفة مشيئته على قد ما لا يكون هناك أي فراغ يملأ في شيء آخر من العالم. إزاي ذا يتم الرب قال في يوحنا 14:23 إن أحبني أحد يحفظ كلامي ويحبه أبي
Just a quick framework in which to get a handle on Paul's prayer for the Colossians. What he prays for is that they might be filled with the full knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's what he prays for.
عشان نوضح الأمور نخلي بالنا أن الرسول بيصلي أنهم يمتلوا من معرفة مشيئته في كل حكمة وفهم روح بمعنى أنهم يكون عندهم حكمة وفهم روحي في معرفة المشيئة.
The purpose or the outcome that he desires in what he prays for is that they, we, might walk worthily of the Lord unto all well-pleasing.
والغرض من كده انهم يوصلوا الى انهم يسلكوا كما يحق للرب في كل روح.
And that worthy walk has four components. There are four verbs that are used that are placed all in the same tense and in the same case.
وهذا السلوك الذي يحق للرب له أربعة
is bearing fruit in every good work. There's growing by the true knowledge of God. There's being strengthened with all power according to the might of His glory. And then there's giving thanks to the Father. So this is the desire in detail of the outcome of Paul's prayer, the outcome being the worthy walk, but the subject of his prayer was that they and we might be filled with the full knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
فهو ده كان غرض الرسول من هذه الصلاة أنهم يمتلئوا في معرفة مشيئته في كل حكمة وفهم روحي أو بحكمة وفهم روحي.
He uses words that have great emphasis here in what he prays for. He prays that you may be completely filled with the full and complete knowledge of his will. We live in a day of minimalism. We say, what's the least I have to do to get a pass mark? Here, the Apostle Paul is saying, I want you to know everything that you can possibly know about all things to do with God's will. That's very full and emphatic words.
الرسول هنا نلاحظ انه بيصلي من اجل المؤمنين انهم مش بس يعرفوا مشيئه الله لكن يمتلئوا من معرفه هذه المشيئه. بيصلي يمتلئوا من معرفه المشيئه مش بحكمه لكن في كل حكمه لتسلكوا كما يحق للرب في كل رضا. يعني الرسول بيطلب من اجل المؤمنين الملء الكمال. لكن احنا في عصر وايام عايزين ناخد حاجه من دي وحاجه. ايه الشيء البسيط بس اللي يخليني يعني امشي وعدي؟
These three different expressions are so important for us. The wisdom, what I mean, the knowledge, the wisdom, and the walk. We may get knowledge about a certain truth, but beloved, we need the wisdom to apply the truth in a very practical way in order to walk in it. It is a result, of course, that the gospel is growing and is bearing fruit amongst them. But there is an element of responsibility, an element which the Lord has given us, that we may acquire the knowledge and then have the wisdom to apply the knowledge practically and walk in it collectively.
اللي كان مثمر فيه ولكن لاحظ انه الموضوع يرتبط مع المسؤوليه. المسؤوليه انهم لازم يعرفوا وبعد ما يعرفوا يعطوا حكمه لكي يمارسوا هذا الحق ونسلك فيه كلنا كجماعه عملنا.
As has been pointed out, the quality of the walk depends on what we have learned and acquired with respect to the knowledge of God. And it is the Lord's desire to help us to put that knowledge in practice. That is wisdom. And then the outflow of it is the practical walk with the blessed results that the assembly is edified.
المسؤولية نحن لما نعرف نعيش هذا الحق بفهم روحي ونسلك فيه والنتيجة الجميلة اللي بعد كده إنه الكنيسة أو الاجتماع يومنا.
الله يصر أن يعلن مشيئته للقديسين.
God is pleased to reveal revelations to His will to His saints.
ولكي نعرف مشيئة الله يجب أن نعرف إله المشيئة.
But to know the will of God, we need to know the God of will first, or His will. I need to know your thoughts, I need to know your desires, what pleases Him, what doesn't please Him.
وعندما أعرف أطبق هذا عمليا في حياتي.
And when I know, I apply that practically in my life.
إذا بسمعنا أن الحكمة هي تطبيق ما عرفته على مواقف في حياتي اليومية.
As we have heard that wisdom is to apply what I know practically in certain instances in my life or circumstances in my life.
الفهم الروحي يعني التمييز بين الأمور المتخلفة.
While spiritual understanding means discerning between different issues or contradicting issues.
النقطة المحورية في عدد عشرة هو كلمة للرب.
The center of verse 10 or the core of verse 10 is for to the Lord.
أن نسلك كما يحق للرب.
That we should walk as it's worthy of the Lord.
احترام ربوبية المسيح، الخضوع لسلطان المسيح كرب.
The submission and the appreciation of the authority of Christ as the Lord.
نلاحظ إنه نتكلم في أفسس عن السلوك كما يحق للدعوة، أفسس 4.
We read in Ephesians, and it speaks about that we should walk according to the call in Ephesians 4.
لأن هناك حدثنا عن الدعوة العليا.
Because there we talk about the high calling.
في فيليبي السلوك كما يحق لإنجيل المسيح.
In Philippians, walk according to the gospel of Christ.
وهي إحدى مصادر البرية ونحن هنا أربعة.
And it is one of the wilderness epistles while we're wandering here on earth.
في كولوسي السلوك كما يحق للرب باعتباره الرأس وصاحب السلطان.
But in Colossians it is the walk according to the Lord being the head and the one who's got the authority.
في تسالونيكي الأولى السلوك كما يحق لله.
In 1 Thessalonians, walk according to God.
فاعتبارهم راجعين من الأوثان ليعبدوا الله الحي الحقيقي.
As they were brought back from idolatry to worship the living and true God.
قياس السلوك هنا مش بس إن أنا ما أعملش الغلط ولا بس إني أعمل الصح لكن أعمل ما يجلب السرور لقلبي في كل رضا.
The measure of war here is not that I do what's right or not to do what's wrong, but to do what brings joy and pleasure to his heart.
Central to that is, this is my beloved Son, in whom I have found all my delight.
طبيق على هذا الكلام، هذا هو ابن الحبيب الذي به سرر.
That's why, no doubt, it refers here to the kingdom of the Son of His love. Kingdom brings in the thought of authority and our submission to that authority as believers. But it's not here the kingdom of God. It's not here the kingdom of the heavens. It's not here the kingdom of the Father. It's the kingdom of the Son of His love. The one who is our Lord is the one who delighted the heart of the Father. And He's the one that we're to give pleasure to.
علشان كده هنا يتكلم عن ملكوت ابن محبتي، يقولش ملكوت الله او ملكوت السماوات او ملكوت الآب، لكن ملكوت ابن محبتي، ملكوت المسيح الذي اصر قلب الله، هو ده اللي مرتبط به هذا الملكوت.
And it brings out problems to us as well, because that being attached to that kingdom is at brings us into opposition with this world. We need to be strengthened in order to cope with that. That's why he says, strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory unto all endurance and long suffering. We need that strength from that focus on the Lord in order to be able to fully enter into appreciation of that kingdom that we are part of.
لكن هذا الموضوع أو دخولنا وضع طاعنا في ذلك الأمر لابد أن يوجدنا في موقف أو يوجد العالم في موقف عداء مننا، وعشان كده ونحن نحتاج أن نكون متقوين بكل قوة بحسب قدرتنا فيه حتى يمكننا أن ندخل ونتمتع ونستمر في التمتع بما في ملكوت ابن محبته.
As much as the person of our Lord Jesus Christ can be to us, as much of our walk would be affected by his liberation. And it's also good and basically that we are affected and affect with those we are drawn with.
على قد ما يعلن لينا شخص المسيح على قد ما تأثر سلوكنا به ونكون مؤثرين للآخرين.
It was an important matter that Moheb raised earlier in connection with life. But with all due respects, Magdi, the Holy Spirit isn't presented in Colossians as the power by which we do these things. It's the life we have from Christ. And this is really the intention of the entire epistle. You might say if he was writing to a group of charismatics and he wanted to get their focus onto what was right, he wouldn't be talking much about the Holy Spirit. He'd be presenting the glory of Christ. And here, he doesn't talk about the Holy Spirit. He talks about Christ, the one who is our life. And there are features that come out here that can only be true of those that have Christ as their life.
الرسول هنا مش بيتكلم عن الروح القدس باعتباره مصدر القوة، لكن بيتكلم عن المسيح حياتنا. المسيح في حياة المسيح فينا هي دي مصدر القوة.
Unbelievers can do good works. The people that are out today collecting $10 million or so for the Royal Children's Hospital are doing a good work. But only believers who have the life of Christ in them can bear fruit in every good work. It's not just a matter as believers of doing good works, but of bearing fruit in those good works. And that fruit would never reflect upon us and make us look good, but it would be fruit for the Lord and pleasure for Him.
في ناس هنا أسات النهاردة مثلا برا بيجمع حوالي 10 مليون دولار عشان رويال تشيلدرن هوسبيتال، هم يعملوا عمل كويس، لكن ده يختلف عن إن المسيح يكون حياة المؤمن، عامل المؤمن لكي يأتي بثمر في كل عمل صالح. What's the difference? Just what's the main, if you can clarify a bit, so what's the difference between being fruitful and the good work?
So it says here, bearing fruit in every good work. Not just doing good works, but bearing fruit in them. Expressing something of the grace and the greatness of Christ in doing a good work.
مثمرين في كل عمل صالح. يعني مش بس مجرد ان احنا نعمل شيء كويس او عمل صالح. لكن في اللي احنا بنعمله نكون بنعبر عن عظمة ونعمة المسيح.
We often ask the question, you know, when the Lord says there's a blessing attached to a cup of cold water given in His name. You know, often we find it relatively easy because we've been influenced by the wisdom of the Scriptures. We find it relatively easy to give a cup of cold water. But what it is actually to give a cup of cold water in His name? We often ask a question what that is, and I think we're confident that it doesn't mechanically mean that we say, I give you this in the name of the Lord Jesus. But it conveys something to us of the fact that in doing a good work, there needs to be fruit for Him.
يعني مثلا كأس ماء بارد باسمي هذا عمل كويس أو ثمر. أحيانا أفكر إذا أنا مجرد شيء ميكانيكي أنا أتكلم وأقول له خذ كأس المية ده مثلا باسم المسيح، لا مش كده، لكن العمل نفسه لابد أن يؤدي إلى ثمر للمسيح.
Let me talk a little about prayer and praying, and we have this pattern in the Apostles' Prayer. And these saints like to think about when we pray, particularly perhaps in our family, when we pray for one another, perhaps we pray because one is sick or that there is a particular need, and that's good. But I wonder how often or how much better it would be to pray according to these verses 9, 10, 11, and perhaps even 12. That
that, you know, that our desires would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we might walk worthy of the Lord and walk pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and all patience and long suffering and joyfulness. Just wonder how much more effective our lives, our ascending would be, if as we pray to one another, we thought of these words of the apostle and perhaps use those or these thoughts in our prayer as we pray for our own life and as we pray for one another.
كثير في الرسول هو بيصلي من هنا بهذه الأمور كثيرة تظهر عن الاجتماعات الصلاة كيف نصلي من بعضنا البعض احتياجات متنوعة ربما حد مريض أو أي له احتياج خاص لكن قديه يكون حالتنا واجتماعاتنا لو كان بنصلي على سياق هذا الكلام كما كان بيصلي هذا الرسول زي أن تمتلئ من معرفة مشيئته بكل حكمة والسلوك وما إلى ذلك بالتالي لو صلواتنا كانت على هذا السياق اجتماعاتنا تكون مختلفة.
That's a very appropriate because we go back to the beginning of verse 9. The apostle doesn't say, for this reason I also. He says, for this reason we also. We, that's Paul, that's Timothy, and I presume it's Epaphras, are together praying. So they're having a prayer meeting. That's what the substance of their prayer meeting is. And then they go over into verse 28, whom we announce, admonishing every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, to the end that we may present every man perfect in Christ. It's the subject of a prayer meeting, not the subject that's probably happening in a prison, but it's still a subject of a prayer meeting. It's not the subject of a person just shutting their closet alone.
الكلام ده طبعا صحيح لأنه لاحظ عدد 9 يقول من أجل ذلك مش أنا أيضا أصلي لكن نحن أيضا منذ يوم سمعنا نتصور أنه هنا اللي بيصلي بولس تيموثاوس الرخراس معاه يعني كان هناك اجتماع صلاة كانوا بيصلوا مش بس كده لك على 28 والذي ننادي به مش أنادي منذرين كل إنسان ومعلمين كل إنسان بكل حكمة لكي نحضر معه إحنا كلنا كل إنسان كاملا في المسيح يعني كان هناك اجتماع صلاة بيصلي ما كانش مجرد صلاة منفردة وإن كان ده برضو ممكن لكن ما كانش الرسول بس اللي بيصلي لوحده في السجن لكن كان هناك اجتماع صلاة من أجل المؤمنين من أجل هذه الأمور.
In John 15, concerning Mary's rule, the Lord Jesus, when he spoke about, is the true vine. In verse 7, he said, if you abide in me, and my word abide in you, you will ask that you desire, and it shall be done for you. Abiding in the Lord, that's reducing rule. The Lord himself, as we now talk about, a true vine, and when we speak with the Lord, as Moses said to the Lord, we speak with you, and if you don't go before us, we don't move. When we abide in the Lord, we can produce fruit, and by him we'll do our good works under the fire of God in our name.
الثمر لا يأتي إلا بالثبات في المسيح زي ما في يوحنا 15 كنا لا نأكل في المسيح لا يمكن أن نأتي بثمر.
And all that God has done to provide and do, but also completes the missing of our own will. Because it doesn't enter into it, does it? It's all God's will alone. And He could work the greatness that He wants to work in all of us here, and He did in the apostle, through the apostle Paul, to be here for the rest of the world.
الأمر كله يعتمد على اعتمادنا الكامل على شخص واعتمادنا الكامل على شخص الرب يسوع المسيح وعمله فينا لكي نأتي بثمر.
Mr. Breton, I wonder if that might be an appropriate place to draw this meeting to a close. I think we've done a pretty good job of covering the passage before us. Lunch will shortly be served, as I mentioned, out in the back. You can collect your money from the serving window and then take it into the hall around the corner. We now just ask the brother to close the meeting in prayer for us at the same time, also to give thanks to the